First Corinthians chapter 11, can we open it? Hallelujah. Let's continue our concluding part of the message we started last Sunday. And that message, what is the title of that message? Thank you very much. The Gospel According to Nature. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 14 is our text for those who were not here last Sunday. The Gospel According to Nature, we pick that from what Apostle Paul spoke in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And he says, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? And we're not talking about hair here. We're only picking that thought about nature teaching us the things of the gospel. And that is why I title it The Gospel According to Nature. And we spoke extensively on that. But quickly, that message lets us know why we, this church, we are not a denomination and we will never be denominated. Amen. Hallelujah. Because that scripture led us, we went on to see how natural things let us know the fact of the gospel. We saw particularly Samson, for instance, among other things we saw last Sunday. Samson's hair, the secret of Samson's strength was his hair. And as soon as the hair was cut off, Samson became powerless. And if Samson's hair, as if Samson is a type of the church, what is the power? Where lies the power of the church? The strength of the church, the power of the church is in God's word. The word of God is a type, the hair on Samson's hair is a type of the word of God. Remove the word of God and the church, like Samson, becomes powerless. And remember, the Philistines made sure they discovered the secret. And as soon as they discovered the secret, hallelujah, that's all. That's all. Samson was as good as a dead man. The word of God is the strength of the church. Cut off the word. Remove the word. And Samson's hair has been cut off. Hallelujah. Samson's hair was cut off. Samson is now being made caricatured of by the people that he has raised up. He was raised up to destroy. Those same people are those now destroying him. A type of the church that was raised up to remove darkness, to be a light, to shine to the world. But what happened? Darkness, the world, has found its way into the church. And now, you can't differentiate between the church and the world anymore. Why? The Philistines have taken over. Hallelujah. You know, as I was driving and coming in here today, somebody coming here for the first time with us, my brother from Abuja, in the car with me, and he was lamenting, oh, how terrible this road is. And I told him, I said, 2 years ago, if you know what this place was like 2 years ago when we moved here, you will have known that we are in for express road now with the council. Amen. And as we landed here, he said, there's something he can learn from here, that Christians are truly men of faith. He said, it will take a Christian to move here in this bush and possess it and take it over and make this place lively again. And I remembered that the truth was, before this particular church moved to this place, nobody could come around here anyhow. It was a dangerous place. This is where all the ritual killers were operating. Amen. Wherever the gospel lands, civilization will come there. It was when we moved here, government awarded contract for that road to be repaired. It was when we moved here that people now started moving around. People who own plots here started coming to develop them. That is what the church is supposed to be. Anywhere you land, you have to conquer that place. But the world has conquered the church. And if Samson is a type of the church, church, listen, this is important. If Samson, hallelujah, is a type of the church, then so many things about Samson can preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to you. We make you understand the condition of the church now. That's why I said that the gospel according to nature, all of a sudden, you are wondering, why is the Holy Ghost in this age particular with women? Women dressing. What the women do to their hair? What the women should put on and what the women should not put on? Why is the Holy Ghost interested so much in this age? Particularly what he did through the ministry of restoration. Why? Because the woman naturally is a type of the church spiritual. That's why William Branham made that statement. He said, if you go to any church and you want to know the spiritual condition of that church, you don't go and fast and pray. Don't wait for vision. What should you do? He said, look at the women. He said, just look at the women. Then they will tell you the condition, the spiritual condition of that particular local church. Why? The woman is a type of the church. The condition of the church is expressed physically by the appearances of the women. So, if the word of God is what the hair types, then a woman, a church that encourages her women to relax her hair, that encourages the woman to palm their hair, to color their hair, to cut their hair, all this has to do with what the word of God is being done in that church. That's what I tried to prove last Sunday. So you go back to the tapes and you'll understand it. If you tell me to bring Bible and show you where a woman cannot palm her hair, I have no other place to show you than to go to Samson. You see? I have no other place to show you than to let nature herself teach us something. The nature says, is it not a shame for a woman to cut her hair? That's what Apostle Paul was saying. Does nature not teach you that it is a shame for a woman to cut her hair? Because her hair is given to her for a covering. Her hair is given to her because her hair is her glory. Therefore, the church is in a shameful condition because the word of God has been cut off. Instead, it's substituted with attachments. God, man's idea. Those are the attachments. You see women, put your attachment. Put your, can't you see? A sister has long hair. She must still go and put attachment to it. Why? He says something. And not just that she puts it, that is the problem. Is that the man of God is saying that it's wonderful, that it's beautiful. So it is accepted as Christian. You don't have risk. See, if, for instance, one sickness overtake your head, and the woman, maybe one crab is eating off the hair, and the hair is falling off, you know, then the woman decides to get some wig to put there to look like her hair. That one is understandable. But I am talking about Somebody with long hair. And when I say long hair, I mean African standard. There is African long hair and there is Oyibo long hair. You have long hair, but here you are still interested. You know, it's a type of a church. Hallelujah. The anointing is there. The grace of God is there. But they want to look like some other thing in the world. So they begin to build up their own ideas. Bring up their own ideas. Bring up their own ideas. Human ideas to add to the word of God. And William Branham was stressing something to the church. He said, "What is the secret of life and death?" He said, "What is the secret of death?" He said, "The secret of death, as far as the gospel is concerned, as far as our relationship with God is concerned, is adding to the word or subtracting from the word of God. What is the result? Is death. And what is the meaning of death? Death is separation from God. That's the meaning of death. Death is separation from God. A man that is not a Christian, a man, woman that is not a Christian, you are not born again, you are separated from God, you are a dead human being walking on the road. Anytime Satan wants to gather firewood to do something, he will just come, where are they? Bring that one, bring that one, bring that one, bring that one. Have you not seen those of you who are really filled with God, filled with the Holy Ghost, when you go to buy pepper from a witch for market, sometimes you say, I beg, they pass, they go. Eh? But why does he tell you pass, go? Then another one say, come, John. You come. You, this one, go. They go now. They go. Carry your thing, they go. You get something where you say, carry, go. But that one, no get, I say, come, John, we'll be together. There are some people that they be together with witch. They cooperate with witch. Why? It's no life in you. Hey, praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We went further. And we looked at Isaac. Obeying the scripture that says, you should not remove the ancient landmarks. Hallelujah. Why? The ancient landmark, hallelujah, is that the fathers traveled along a particular pathway and they knew that some other people will be coming behind them going on the same destination. On earth I long to be like thee all through life's journey from earth to glory. There's a journey we are in. We are traveling on the right road. How do you know you're on the right road? From earth to glory. Why? Those who treaded that path before, they left signposts that we are supposed to follow. That is the path they follow. And they went to glory. If you must go to glory, you must follow the same pathway. The same pathway. The same gospel. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. If it was good for Paul, it's good for me too. If it was good for Moses, it was good for all the rest. Hallelujah. Not many people have caught this revelation. And so the Bible makes it clear. Hey, let's look at the scripture. Maybe I'm saying something. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. That is verse 28. That scripture says, Proverbs 22 and verse 28. He said, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Let me read it again. Is there anybody who will go to school here? Can you read it together with me? Let's go. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Read it again. Thank you very much. And who are thy fathers? Who are our fathers? Eh? Your Jew? Eh? Who are the fathers referred to here? Our apostolic fathers. Then you will understand what the entire message is. The message of restoration. Then you will understand why the work of the Elijah ministry is, according to Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, is to turn the heart of the children back to the heart of the fathers. Come back to those landmarks that the fathers set. Don't go and set up for yourself another landmark. Three works of grace: justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know, some people have changed that. Instead of justification, now you walk penance. Purgatory is sanctification. Eh? Purgatory is sanctification. Then instead of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is God's way of glorification, what do they substitute it for? Holy Eucharist. You see? Hallelujah. Our fathers in the faith, everywhere they baptized in the Bible was in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do what our fathers did. People are wrestling with the doctrine of Trinity. Show me anything in the Bible that supports Trinity. Nothing. Our fathers never taught that doctrine. Our fathers never ordained any woman pastor. Our fathers say we must not do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is something that Apostle Paul told Timothy. Let's go to Timothy. Timothy. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy. Chapter 6. Hallelujah. Amen. From verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. There is a doctrine that is according to doctrine, according to godliness. Hallelujah. And there is doctrine according to worldliness. There are worldly doctrines, and there are doctrines that get you more and more worldly. And there are godly doctrines that make you more and more godly. Verse 4. Hallelujah. And if anyone teach otherwise, verse 4 says, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. See what they do, supposing that gain is godliness. The evidence that God is with you is that you become, all of you become millionaires. You are a poor man, it's because God is not with you. Since you people started ministry now, 10 years, how many bosses do you people have in your church? No boss. Oh, you can't say God is with you and you are riding B2, pastor. Hey, they teach. And anyone that will tell me that the evidence that God is with me is determined by the houses I own, the properties I have, the type of cars I drive, I will tell you, explain to me
By what reason are the unbelievers that are billionaires prospering up and down? Which God is with them that is making them prosper the way they go? And then Apostle Paul was saying, from such people, he said, you should do what? You should do what? Withdraw yourself. Why? Because such doctrine is a doctrine according to worldliness, not godliness. Such doctrines take you closer and closer to the world, when doctrine should move you further and further from the world. I'm getting closer and closer to God. And there's no man that will be close enough to God that will yet be close to the world. And I explained that. Amen. Depending on how you look at it. Let me read on. Verse 6. This is what Apostle Paul taught. Our fathers in the faith. But godliness with what? With what? Say it again. Godliness with what? That word is contentment. Is great gain. Gain to what? Gain to your spiritual life. That is, learn to be contented with what God has given you. Why are you struggling, sleeplessly, doing this, doing that? Why? Verse 7. Here is wisdom. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. The things we are supposed to struggle for are the things that pertain to eternal life. The heavens and the earth will pass away, but the word of God abided forever. Why are you struggling for the things that will pass away? That's what William Branham says. Hallelujah. He said, if I am to choose between heaven and the word of God, he said, you ask me which one I will choose? If I'm to choose between heaven and the word of God, William Branham said, I will choose the word. He said, why? He said, because the Bible says heaven and the earth will pass away, but the word of God abided forever. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Therefore, it's important, because these are keys that make us understand the entire message. And I drop these keys to also confirm what Apostle Peter said. Let's go to 1 Peter. I think it's 2 Peter chapter 1. I think that scripture is 2 Peter. Hallelujah. Now. If you are there with me, 2 Peter chapter 1. He spoke of so many things, and when he came to verse 12, he made this statement. He said, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Somebody say present truth. Present. Say it again. Present truth. Present. There is always a present truth of God. Brethren, for every program of evil man, there is an agenda. Am I correct? If you have a program, there is an agenda. Some people even have agenda for their own life. Eh? If you ask some of these young people here now, why you never marry, Emeka? Why you never marry? You will say, no, not now. Well, let me limit myself to myself, because some people, the reason why they get, they're different. For me, I had an agenda in my life. I decided right from when I was 14, 15 years old, I had decided at what age I will marry. At what age this will happen. At what age this will happen. And I was always walking towards it. I preached
The topic I titled, the sermon I titled, the divine timetable. God has a timetable for salvation. And there are item by item in that agenda. Item by item. It was part of the item, hallelujah, that he sent Moses to go to Egypt to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt to the promised land, because the next agenda was going to be fulfilled in the promised land when the Savior will come. The Savior will come when they will be in the promised land. And the Savior came. And when the Savior came, they did not understand what was happening. But according to the agenda, in Isaiah chapter 61 and verses 1 and 2, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to set the captives free. And he gave all the prophecies. And in Luke chapter 4, when you read from verse 18, he came to the temple one day and to read as usual. And then they gave him the book. He opened the place in Isaiah 61 and he began to read his ministry to them. And when he finished, he closed the book and began to look at him, and he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled before your eyes." Why? This is the present truth. This is where God is now. There was a time God was in the temple built by Solomon and Herod. But all of a sudden, one day in Matthew chapter 3, Christ was being baptized. Heaven made an announcement when the Spirit of the Lord came like a dove, and that voice spoke, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." From that day, if you go to worship God in the temple, you have wasted your time, because God said, offerings and sacrifices will only be accepted by him if you offer him in that place that he has chosen to place his name there. And the God of creation had come down and placed his name in a man, that man Jesus. If you offer that sacrifice anywhere else, you are wasting your time. That's why he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me." That is the present truth. Hallelujah. That is the present truth. When the church was to be restored after the dark ages, he got a man by the name of Martin Luther to break away from the Catholic erroneous system. And that day, that became the present truth. The just shall live by faith. All these years, you were doing penance. You were doing all that in ignorance. It's okay. God did not bother. It's okay. You are doing it within the limit that you know. No problem. But now, the present truth is the just shall live by faith. Not by works anymore. And as many as refused to follow Martin Luther, you were off. The revival continued. Hundreds of thousands pulled out. The Protestant movement began. Everybody was following Luther. It is recorded that Luther was even smoking pipe. Amen. All they depended on was the just shall live by faith. Justification. And they didn't care about the holiness. Then, when it was the time for holiness to be restored, the doctrine of sanctification, God raised up another man by the name of John Wesley. Hallelujah. The present truth. Raised up another man by the name of John Wesley. And he got a scripture that says, without holiness, no man will see God. Now, you will not only be justified, you must add sanctification to it. That is the present truth as at that time. That was the present truth. And they were continuing with John Wesley's doctrine. All of a sudden, while they were doing that, there was no gift of the Spirit. There were no discernments. There were no miracles. There were just holiness. But even that type of holiness was a man-made holiness, not the holiness that came by the enablement of the Holy Ghost. And when it was time for God to complete the restoration of the third work of grace, which is baptism of the Holy Ghost, it started with Azusa Street Revival. Hallelujah. That brought back the gifts that with this modern day we call the Pentecostal movement. And within that time, you received, it was restoration of, you know, the word, more light, more light, more light. It was among there. There were other things that needed to be corrected. Because along the church ages, the church still fragmented along the lines of doctrines. We had a group that believed in predestination, for instance. Predestination is a Bible doctrine, it's a fact. They run off with it, but they will refuse other doctrines. Another group of people ran off when they got the revelation that there's nothing like Trinity. They call themselves the oneness group. They ran off with the oneness. And they would deny the power of the Holy Ghost. And then you came up again with another group that believed in speaking in tongue and all other things that pertain to the manifestation of the Spirit. And they too began to run off that speaking in tongue is the evidence of the Holy Ghost, which was wrong. It's okay. Within that confusion, God raised a man again by the name of William Marion Braham. He's the one that came. That you can't run away with these bits and pieces like that. He brought all of them together in a balanced diet and gave it to a group of people. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Therefore, here we are. We believe in predestination. We believe in eternal security. We believe in the oneness of God, not Trinity. Hallelujah. What the Baptists believe, we believe it here. What the Presbyterians believe, we believe it here. What the Pentecostals believe, we believe it here. And brought a total picture of it. Hallelujah. That is the present truth. Oh, hallelujah. Let me go further. Amen. Let me go further. The emphasis here, brethren, for you to understand what the end time message is. The emphasis is that we are not to remove the ancient landmark that our fathers set. Apostolic fathers. We are to preach what Apostle Paul preached. He is our apostolic father. Because he said, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles. Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. He said, if any man preaches any other gospel, contrary to what dead apostles have preached, let that person be accursed. The certainty of the doctrines. Hallelujah. If you catch this revelation, brethren, you will never feel comfortable in any of these funny places. And my duty, when I pick microphone and stand before you, I was telling my brother from Abuja as we were coming, I saw people, but the road is so bad that even pedestrians cannot find their way here. They don't even know where to place a leg. And in the cars we are coming, I said, sir, see what these people are going through to come to church. Then, when these people, all this struggle, all this difficulty, they cross over and come here. Sir, what do you think I should be telling them? What I owe them is nothing but the truth. The truth. It's the truth. The reason is, if I bend this gospel, the judgment I will receive will be higher than Lucifer's own. That's the truth. Because certainly, for a man, for a woman, to enter this place, I saw some of you park your cars on the main road and trek down here. I saw a sister with her baby. They came out of their car. They were battling with poto poto on the road to come here because their car is too low to cross over here. Now, that person is not coming here to watch cinema.
There's certainly something that is pushing that person to come. Then I will stand here and deceive you. The burden in my heart is that God, who led you so far here, will not let you go back empty-handed. Brethren, and it is not that you will go back millionaires, but that you will go back with your eyes open.
God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this last age. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord for the original.
Hallelujah. We have a message. That's what we want to convey to you. Why?
Our eyes of understanding, he has opened up at last. As victory is ours, who we are chained down in the past. Through jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our God, who is original.
Which jubilee has sounded? Exodus chapter 21. Open it.
Through jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our God.
Which jubilee? Are we there? Exodus chapter number 21. Listen to a law there. That law says from verse 1. Are we there? Okay. It says, now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. Listen. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, how many years will he serve?
6 years
he shall serve. A Hebrew is a descendant of Abraham, a descendant of Isaac, a child of promise, who is supposed to be free. But the irony there is, they are talking that a condition can arise where a Jew can become a slave. There are Christians today, the condition has made them to become slaves to denominational system. Okay, let me read on. Verse 2. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. For nothing, that is unconditionally. Verse 3. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master had given him a wife, and she had borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. It's a type of the church, brethren. Listen. The church of Jesus Christ was going to undergo bondage for 6 dispensations, 6 church ages. People don't know why God allows certain things to happen. It's just part of his program. Hallelujah. But in the 7th year, according to the law of Jubilee, freedom. Jubilee is freedom, celebration of freedom. Hallelujah. A law says you can only hold that slave for 6 years. The 7th year, he must be let loose. It's a type of the bride of Jesus Christ that will be caged by the denominational system for 6 church ages. At the 7th church age, there will come a shout. There will become a shout. And it's a shout of jubilee. That's why we sing that song. Don't you hear the bells now ringing? Don't you hear the angels singing? It's a golden hallelujah jubilee. In the far off sweet forever, just beyond the shining river, when the ring, the golden bells for you and me. There is a land beyond the river that we call the sweet forever. I'm but truly rich that shall by faith decree. One by one we gain the portals there to dwell with the immortals. When the ring, the golden bells for you and me. Hallelujah. The bells are ringing now. The present truth. Hallelujah. The bells are ringing now. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Listen, the entire message is not a message to the prostitutes in the street. It is the evening light gospel. It is the voice of God to his children that have been cursed in the denominations, to come out of the denominational system into the liberty, the freedom to worship God in spirit and in truth. Come back where it is no more the denominational system that dictates how we worship God, but come back and be united to the word of God and worship God as the spirit leads, not as the denomination leads. There is the gospel according to the denomination, but there is the gospel according to this Bible. The gospel according to the denomination says you cannot be a minister unless you go to Bible school. But the gospel according to this Bible says when God calls you, he anoints you for the thing he has called you to do. He does not send anybody to the Bible school. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Some of us that are ministers in this church, you know you can't kneel here. You can't sit down here if you were in the denomination. Why? Because the gospel according to that denomination says so. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A lot of you see the titles that some people bear in the churches today, and you think they are Bible titles. No, they are not Bible titles. They are denominational titles. Hallelujah. No, when you see somebody answering Reverend, Reverend Doctor, some of you think it is a Bible title. It's not a Bible title. It is not God that made him Reverend. It is his church that made him Reverend. When a man says he's a general overseer, then what is the position of the Holy Ghost? He has put away the Holy Ghost and he has taken over the church of Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost is the general overseer of the church of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He has taken over the church. I have seen books. Holy Ghost, my partner. Who told you Holy Ghost is your partner? Holy Ghost is not your partner, he's your master. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost can never be your partner. Ha! Denominational doctrines. A man saying the Holy Ghost is his partner in the thing that pertains to salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope you're not looking at me as a critic. No, no, I'm not criticizing. I'm giving you the reason why you must come back to the Bible. I am telling you, hallelujah, the gospel truth.
This type of gospels are not preached anymore. But remember, after some time, Samson's hair began to grow again. Hey! Glory be to God. Read that story. After some time, Samson's hair began to grow. Hey! His eyes were blind. They removed everything that pertained to Revelation, because the first thing the Philistine did to Samson was to plug up his two eyes. Therefore, Samson was blind. Look at the condition of the church today and see who can be more blind than the churches today. If they are not blind, can't they see the Bible says that the woman should not be a pastor? If they are not blind, why are they not seeing it to tell that woman to sit down and take her place in the church? The church is blind. But let me tell you, Samson's hair began to grow. Hallelujah. And he said something to them. You read that story. He begged them. He said, take me to the pole, to any of the pole of that building. They took him to the pillar. He held one by the right, he held one by the left, and he cried to God, just once more, Lord. The Old Testament, the New Testament, by the right, hold them together one more time, Lord. Once more, Lord, avenge me of my enemies. And what Samson in that his estate achieved, that after holding the two pillars, what he achieved in destroying the Philistines, well, first and foremost, he himself had to die. I'm telling you, brethren, if you are going to achieve anything in this entire message, you must be dead to the world. You must be dead to yourself. You must be dead to sin. If not, you will not be able to achieve anything. You can't go the way others are going and think you will achieve anything. Samson died, but on his death, he killed thousands of Philistines. All his life, he couldn't achieve what he achieved that day when he held the two poles, the pillar on the right and the pillar on the left. Hallelujah. Amen. The Old Testament and the New Testament, hold on to it. Hallelujah. That is the strength of the church. With that strength, you destroy the Philistines. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The gospel sound of freedom has sounded. We have heard the message concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three stages in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 says, the Lord himself will descend first with a shout. The rapture begins with the shout. And the shout there is the entire message, which is the midnight cry of Matthew chapter 25 and verse 6. At midnight, there was a cry made. He said, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out and meet him. Go out of where? Out of denominational slavery. Out of the denominational system. If you don't come out of that system, you will never go in the rapture. You will never. You can't go in the rapture in the denominational system. Why? Because there's something you are supposed to respond to. You can't respond to it in that system. The system has no place anymore for the word of God. The system has no place anymore for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. People are not being prepared to go to heaven. People are being prepared to remain rooted on the ground by the gospels they preach. I will say this with all due respect, but we have to say what the word of God says, because we are constrained by the Spirit of God to say that. But you've heard the sound, and if you have heard the sound, like so many of us have heard,
There is no denominational leader today that has not had the hentai message as preached by the man William Marion Braham. For that is the servant of God that God sent to us in this age. Let's read on now. Chapter 21. For those who refuse to come out. Verse 5. Listen. Are we there? And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. He will serve him forever. This law was not just put there. It is put there to make us understand a spiritual fact. You have been a slave all these years. And the law says, now you can go out free. But because there is a law, if it is your master that gave you a wife, if your master gave you a wife and she bore children for you, he said, if you are going, leave the children for the master. Do you know one of the reasons some of you came late because you waited for your church to close before coming here, isn't it? Now, I understand. I understand because you are finding it difficult. You know what we are saying here is the truth. But there's something yoking you with that church. Why? The house you are living, they are the ones that gave you. The wife you are marrying is your Gio's cousin. Yes, now. They put you there and they gave you work. And they are paying you allowance every month. So, you are wondering. Needing a friend to help me in the end, where will I go? Hey, you didn't sing it well. I am singing the song he is singing. Needing a friend to help me in the end, where will I go but to the church? The whole of your faith does not go beyond what that church can do for you. Because of what you are benefiting from that church, you cannot leave, even though you have been caged. You know you have been caged. You are gifted. You cannot operate your gift in that church because that church is a one-man show church. You know, everything there must be judged. You are not even allowed to preach your own message. In fact, the message you are to preach was sent to you by headquarters to play it on a tape for the people. You know you have been caged there. The grace of God in your life. You know who you are. You know the Holy Ghost will tell you to tell somebody something. You will say, hey, if I talk and I see what will happen, I know I will allow. You are caged. The voice of the Lord, the grace of God came in this age and sounded that jubilee sound. Come out of her, my people. Hey, in Israel, if you say you love your master so much, what did he say? He said, your master will take you to the judges. Mokuna here, this man, I don't let him make you go, so I'm not going to send him make him pamo. But he said, he loves me too much. He loves me too much. He doesn't want to go. Therefore, what is the sign they say they will give such a person that refuse freedom? They will take him to the doorpost and put a hole in his ear. And please, don't think that hole will just be in the ear like that. Something must hang there. So that anytime they see that man with a ring in his ear going, what does that mean? The slave that refused freedom.
I don't know whether somebody is understanding me. The gospel according to nature. Now, we look at it and naturally we just say, oh, this is fashion. It makes a woman look fine. But let me tell you, hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Everything that pertains to sin is beautiful before man's eyes. Anything that will lead you to death, first and foremost, it is sweet. Adultery, the act, is it not sweet? But what is the end result? Death. Anything you have not seen, anytime they want to portray any product they want to advertise and they want to catch attention of customers, what do they use to advertise it? Not just woman, naked woman. It's not that. Will they call you and put you there? Sister, will they call you and put you there? And then you will see the worldly people will say, ah, this girl fine. What did they see? They are seeing her stomach, they are seeing her breasts, because she took the picture and bent like this, so the breasts are showing outside. They say, kai, this girl fine. Hallelujah. What is the wearing of earring telling us? Today, churches are, there are two types of churches now. There are churches that say you can dress anyhow. You can wear a ring. You can wear all the jewelry you can wear. Don't see, do anything to your hair. But there's another church, group of churches, that are saying, put that thing away. And people don't understand. Why is the Spirit of God saying so? The present truth, as thus said the Lord, by the sound of God to this age, William Branham says, thus said the Lord to the sisters, put that thing away. You are wondering why? You are knowing why now. Why? 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy.